Wow!
It's the Metal Enema Thanksgiving Special.
That's chicken.
Oh, shit.
No, don't worry about it. See, these days, whenever anybody hears that, they just think of people, you know, flying planes into buildings. Far on up! I'm The Undertaker.
I'm Agapornis Epicac.
And you're on Solarfall Radio at solarfall.com, metalenema at gmail.com.
MySpace.com/metalenema.
So this is our Thanksgiving special. If you're listening to it on Thanksgiving Day, that means you're a loser and you have no family. And
actually means you're ultra cool and yeah. You're ditching your lame-ass dysfunctional family to go hang out with us. Just like on some people's wedding nights.
Yeah. We're your family now. You know,
if you want
me,
if you want us to be your family, we'll be your family. If you want us to be your dads, we'll be your dads. Although,
you know,
not like that My Two Dads show.
No.
Not like in the San Francisco way.
No.
But if you want us to be your pastors, we'll be your pastors. If you want us to be your gods, we'll be your gods. If you want us to be your saviors, we'll be your saviors.
But only if you're a chick.
And if you want us to D up the butt, use an enema first.
Yeah.
Metal enema. Although it's kind of hard to get your stool cleansed out of your colon with electronic downloads, but you know.
Well, maybe if you like did something where you turn it up super loud with a big, you know, with like your stereo surround system, and it gave you the disco dump, you know, disco stew just went poo.
We will attempt to, like everybody else, to achieve the brown note. Yes, blah blah blah.
Yeah, we're not really gonna theme this one, unlike some other holidays we've done, like 4th of July. I know you guys like the 4th of July special, but Thanksgiving just isn't one of those holidays. In fact, it's boring as shit. And
it's interesting in that it's a completely fabricated holiday that was created during a time of war to make the country forget about the war.
It's racist.
Well, I think if we're going to do Thanksgiving, just like if we're going to celebrate Columbus Day, we might as well just give the Indians that are left
Some smallpox
infected blankets.
And then potato salad in a can.
And then go take back Oklahoma.
Yeah. That would be fine. Well, I'm actually, you know, because of my wife's broken hip, you know, we're not going down to San Antonio to see anybody this year. But I was thinking about my great grandmother, who is 102, and she's on her last legs, but she's actually...
She remembers the Indians and the Pilgrims.
Yeah, she does. I was there. I was just...
I'm Plymouth Rock.
A little girl. And she's 100...
I was doing Plymouth Rock. With some... Fat 40s.
Oh, God. Plymouth Rock landed on me.
Malcolm. Do I have to get out of this car and choke a bitch?
Yes.
I just put a baby in your daddy.
I just got a baby from your daddy. No, but actually, she's 102, and it's crazy because she's actually just now getting senile. It took her this long to get senile.
She's 102 years middle-aged.
Yes, but there's nothing physically wrong with her. No heart problems, no health problems of any kind. She still walks around on her
brain
own.
Brain problems.
Yeah. Well, I found out from my dad that... Well, she's reporting that the lamp is talking to her.
Well, probably is.
Well, but that's the thing. She's stone deaf. She's been deaf since she was 85. So she can't possibly be hearing something else. It's definitely in her head. But then this is the funny part.
That's a good thing she doesn't have tinnitus. Can you imagine 20 plus years of...
Yeah, actually I can.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've been experiencing 20 plus years of that.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you can hear, yeah.
But anyway, she says that the lamp was talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I just talked to my dad and I was like, is the lamp still talking to her? He's like, no, she hasn't talked about that. And so I was thinking it'd be hilarious. Like we show up to see her and she's like, the lamp isn't talking to me anymore. And we're like, oh, that's good, Nanny. And she's like, I think he's angry with me. You know? He has stopped talking to me, and I don't know what I did. And I keep trying to talk to him, and he won't listen.
He's being so passive-aggressive.
He keeps turning his back on me and just reading the newspaper. But I was thinking, now that she's finally lost her grip, I haven't seen her in a while, mainly because a lot of us don't go to see her, partly because she can't hear. And it's impossible to carry on a conversation. I mean, it is literally impossible because she simply cannot hear us anymore.
Well, you can have fun with that and just like, so
well, she can't hear that either. But But she can, if you yell really, really loud, she can hear. So I wanted to go in and just take advantage of her deafness and her senility and go, "Nanny, you're going to give me some money! Remember? Where is it?
The lamp said so!
Yeah, the lamp told me you were going to give me some money! Oh, well, I have it right here." And she pulls out a big roll. This is what my homie T-Money gave to me to hang on to him, you know. He said if the police showed up that I shouldn't say anything.
Don't worry!
Just give it here! T-Money and the lamp said! But we've got a lot of good stuff tonight. Actually, had a lot of fun making this list. Sometimes, I gotta admit, everybody, sometimes we get together to do the show and I'm like, oh, fuck, we gotta put stuff on the air. Yeah. You heard me talking about that last week. But this time, because I thought my wife was having a heart attack, so I actually had some time to myself. That doesn't make sense. My wife has an arrhythmia, and since she's been home and post-surgery, she was having some problems, and we thought maybe she had a blood clot, so I had to run her to the emergency room, and we were there for 9 hours. And actually, there's not a lot of good material to come out of that, so I'm not going to tell the whole story. Point is, she was very quiet and sedate, and so
it's just some 80s songs, you know, looking for a heartbeat.
No. No. So anyway,
there's that Motley Crue song, Kickstart.
They say the heart of rock and roll is still.
Whoa, yeah, kick some hard music, never stop.
Okay, so there was some. I couldn't think of anything at the time because I was at the hospital from 10 p.m. to 8
a.m. Yeah, there's not a lot of time to think when you're. For 5 hours going, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit.
Yeah. So, but now that I think about it, it's hilarious. but anyway, so I did get a good chance to actually sit down and think about what I wanted to play this week and what I thought we could have some fun with. So here we go. Let's just knock it out. It's a lot of old, a lot of new, a lot of stuff we haven't even played yet, believe it or not. So,
excellent.
Here we go. This is Suffocation with Liege of Inveracity.
Oh, Our patrols have spotted them in the jungle. Quick, drink the potion. They've come to kill us. Quick, drink the wine. Drink the wine. They'll be here with flamethrowers. Drink, drink. In a few seconds, you'll feel drowsy. You'll lie down and go to sleep. Sleep forever.
That was Carnage in the Temple of the Damned from Deicide. Gorgoroth did Gorgoroth.
They did. Well, I guess they're into that.
And Liege of Inveracity was from Suffocation. Today is 3 days and 28 some odd years after the Jonestown suicide / murder that happened in Jonestown, Guyana, where the People's Temple, having moved from Indiana to California, ultimately freaked out and decided to flee the United States, fearing prosecution. Well, not prosecution, but persecution and conspiracy from Jim Jones's addled, prescription-abusing, drugged-out mind. And
the fact that he was also laundering money. I think there was some IRS stuff involved.
Yeah, they didn't get into that. I just saw the Jonestown documentary.
Is it just called Jonestown?
The tagline is "Salvation at any cost,"
mm-hmm.
and it's a really good documentary. I was wondering about some of the pacing issues of it, but ultimately,
yeah,
you know, as far as a like non-like value system, liked it.
Yeah,
they didn't mention any sort of IRS stuff. What they talked about was some of the early defectors ended up going to.
Did they interview them?
They interviewed the survivors in the film.
Wow.
The narrative talked about how some of the early defectors went and talked to a magazine reporter who did this expose on what would be now called irregularities with within the People's Temple.
He's kind of wacky.
Yeah. the fact that he was saying everybody's a homosexual and all men are homosexuals and all women are lesbians and that they shouldn't have any sexual relations because that's selfish and he's the only but he was the one that was fucking all of them,
including the men.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wasn't
your dad down there?
He was consulted.
Not in the call.
Yeah, not in the call. That'd be cooler if he was.
No, didn't your dad go down there after, yeah, after everybody died?
Because he was in the Air Force, and he was consulted on the effects of the jungle on the accelerated decomposition of the bodies and how to remove 909 people face down in the mud wearing polyester. Yeah.
I could see your dad saying, well, I'll just get some backhoes. Yeah. And, you know, it's not that hard. Why'd you have to call me?
This is really a no brainer. You just get a bunch of gasoline or napalm fucking shit out of it. Who cares? But yeah, it's very, very interesting film. At the beginning, you know, everyone's very positive, all the survivors that are talking about it, because they're like, yeah, it was the greatest thing we were ever involved in.
Yeah, I
you
heard
know,
that a lot.
Because Jones himself was fairly progressive in 53. He ran the first integrated church in Indiana.
Yeah, he was about like racial unity and all that stuff.
Well, it wasn't so much racial unity. It's just he wanted to get rid of the concepts of race and class and socioeconomics. And
he was a commie.
Yeah, pretty much a very socialist mindset. And it seems like his original intent was a good one. I think he just kind of went off the deep end as things went on. He was also a complete paranoiac. Yeah, and he was able to just kind of use and abuse all his power without any repercussions.
Exactly. I thought it would be great if the filmmakers, when they were interviewing the survivors, they were like, thanks for being here today. We got a spread set up for you, before we start the film. Here you go. And then you just start pouring Kool-Aid.
No!
Jesus, no!
What was interesting was they had... if you look at all the accounts of Jonestown, they always say, oh, well, they'd been practicing drinking Kool-Aid and lying down. So they were getting ready for this. But they actually talk about how one instance of Jones, the first time Jones had everybody come up and drink punch, and he didn't say anything.
Right.
And then after everyone drank it,
he said it was poisoned.
He said, you all just drank poison.
Yeah.
And there's audio recordings and pictures of everyone going, no! He had a large,
it's the hysterical black lady character.
He had a large black congregation. Yeah. In fact, his first son was black that he adopted. He's one of the first,
Angelina Jolie made it trendy.
So everyone's freaking out about it, and then he was like, it was a test of loyalty, blah, blah, and all the survivors were saying, no, that wasn't a test of loyalty, because we'd been sleeping an hour and a half every night and working 20-plus hours a day for this place and for him and blah, 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 so,
getting fucked in the ass.
Yeah, this wasn't a test of loyalty. This was him, exerting his power trip.
He did what most white people in history have done. He got a whole lot of black people together in one place out and went, and put them all to work.
And then threw rubber snakes at him, watch him freak out.
He's like, now I see why everybody does this. Look at them work. They're working 20 hours a day, and then I get to fuck them in the ass.
And instead of cotton, it's grapes they're picking.
By the way,
Ukiah, California, one of the 9 places on earth where you can put a whole bunch of black people to work for no pay picking grapes and
people,
fucking them in the
and
ass.
People will call you a hero. He had it all figured out. The man was a genius.
Goddamn.
By the way, people like it when we talk about the music that we're playing. And this, I bet a lot of people are going, well, hey, do you know, I wonder where that footage came from, the opening dialogue from Carnage in the Temple of the Damned. Well,
it came from Powers Booth. Version called
of
Jonestown
Massacre. It's a 1981 made for television movie. It's probably one of the better made for television movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's just it may fall into the slightly sensationalistic camp, but
Powers Booth is so awesome. Yeah, it's like he is Jim Jones.
Yeah,
and now he's on Deadwood. Powers Booth, I'm Deadwood.
And now he's doing Jim Jones on Deadwood.
Yeah, he's basically Jim Jones same, on Deadwood.
Because he's kind of doing the same character he did in as Senator Rourke in
right. He's just
Sin City.
Powers Booth is now typecast. Oh lordy, yeah. I do declare.
I tell you, Johnny, getting stabbed in the gut with a knife makes you feel like coming to the Lord.
Wendy, give me the bat. Give me the bat. Wait, oh, wait, that's different. Sorry, sorry.
Powers Booth is Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Here's
Deadwood.
Here's Johnny, I do declare. All right, we've got more music, so why don't we knock it out? What do you say?
This our mercenaries are here. They'll be here with flamethrowers. Drink.
Thanksgiving suicide, everybody. That's if you're right. Home,
eat the turkey. Eat the turkey. A few
hurry
seconds,
up.
You'll feel drowsy. Lie down
stuffing,
and go to sleep.
Stuffing.
Yeah, you sleep for hours.
The tryptophans will take effect, and you'll lay down, and you'll doze off in front of the football game. Sleep. We're gonna kind of
in a few servings, you'll feel drowsy. Lie down and go to sleep.
You'll be sick of your in-laws. Drink. You take a few shots. Lots of wild turkey. For Allah!
The Muslim turkey. The Islamo-fascist turkey day.
You betcha. Right here on the Metal Giving. We're having a lot of fun, everybody.
It's Gizzard McGraw.
Here we
turkey
go.
Turkey common law. I don't know what that is.
Turkey husbandry.
This is
Candlemass.
Oh, Take it back. hammer their walls. I shall inscribe this eternal accusation against Christianity upon them. I can write the letters which can make even the blind see. I call Christianity the one great curse, the one great intrinsic depravity, the one great instinct for revenge, for which no expedient is sufficiently poisonous. Secret subterranean petty. I call it the one immortal blemish of mankind.
Wow, that was a long but very cool song from Night Conquers Day, The Perseverance of Ignorance.
And at the very end, that is Friedrich Nietzsche that he's quoting.
Yeah, the rant of Christianity. They were a really cool band. I miss them.
Yes.
They were one of the better American black metal bands, I think, of all time, in my opinion.
One of the better short-lived ones.
Yeah, well, you know, they had two albums out, and well, I mean, their songs were so long, it was like 4 years worth of material for any other band. But before that, we kind of just sort of broke left and played some Candlemass with Black Dwarf, which is like probably their most rocking song. I actually like that album. It's very well produced, and you know, they're kind of cool guys. They're friends of ours, so we're putting them on our show because we're obnoxious that way.
That's right.
So
this is all a who's who of Agapornis Epicax house party. The Black Dwarf.
The Agape.
He's in the closet.
I thought it would be so funny. I don't think they're going to tour anymore, but I thought it would be, you know how
if
band
they did Trapped in the Closet the entire The Black Dwarf.
Trapped in the closet. So here I was with my gun, and I say, listen, bitch, this ain't no fun for me anymore.
Then I pull out my gun.
Then I do the doom dance. Dun, 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 dun. You are a bitch. Dun, dun, dun. You know, I want to change.
Is Messiah going to have to choke a whore?
The lamp is talking to me. Oh, no, wait, sorry.
I'm Messiah, bitch.
That guy's one in a million, I got to say.
Totally.
He
hops around like a
like
big
a frog.
Swedish frog.
Yep, yep. But
he and King Buzzo and
from the Melvins.
Yeah, and help me out, Shane Embry needs to be in. Need to be in a band again.
Power trio. Yeah. Shane Embry, King Buzzo, and Messiah Markolin.
All the big hair, round head guys.
Yep, yep, yep. They should just call it like hair. The band. You know, it's like got the big Black Sabbath-y Doom logo and everything. Just be the sludgiest, biggest, hairiest band ever.
High singingest.
Well, I wanted to change gears and tell a work story because the job I do is interesting, but it also...
Because you work with the Black Dwarf.
Yeah. The black people who call and try to fudge money off their cards. I'm going to answer the phone that way from now on. You know, how can I help you with your claim? It seems suspicious. You know,
I don't believe that you let your ATM card and PIN get stolen and withdrawn and brought back while you were in the taking a dump.
No!
The black dump.
Well, anyway, I was just going to, since it's Thanksgiving and everybody's probably some of you are eating while you're listening to the show. Invariably, some of you are eating
and
while
I
you're listening
either,
to the
either
show.
And I hope you're either doing spit takes with the gravy or you're choking on your turkey.
Choking on your turkey. And
hey, that's a good Thanksgiving porno movie.
Choking on turkey. Choke the turkey.
Yeah.
Or spit take gravy.
Either one. It's a double feature.
Well, all I was going to say was that...
Giblets in the gullet.
Oh. The check is in the mail. Mandate.
Teabag.
So all I was going to say was just that when I go into the bathroom at my job, I'm being careful not to say the name of the place on the air.
Yeah.
When I go into the bathroom at my job, they have what is... some of you have experienced this, I'm sure, on both sides of the pond, in North America and in Europe. They have in the bathroom, right over the urinal, a booger wall. And
bathroom at my work was dirty.
Well, okay, for those of you females who are listening to the show, this is what guys do when they go to the to the urinal. Not all of them. I don't. I think it's fucking gross. But they think it's not only a place to take a piss or a shit, but they also think it's a place to wipe your boogers. It's a booger repository. So you'll always see
somebody at your work thinks that the urinal's a place to take a shit?
Yeah, yeah.
That would be awesome.
I've seen that before. Not at this job.
But. I have yet to experience that. I keep talking about doing it, but
no.
Haven't done it yet. Haven't seen it yet either.
No. But anyway, back to the booger wall. Guys,
is that a Sheena Easton song?
Yes, I'm getting to that. God damn it! We need to each get a brain. You know, stop sharing this one because. Well, anyway, so yeah, my booger walls is crusty and nasty in there. You've been wiping them all over.
Take me to the place where my boogers run free. Booger walls, wipe them all in front of me.
So guys go up to the urinal and they wipe their boogers on the wall while they're taking a leak. They just pick their nose and wipe it on the wall. And once one person does it, I guess, I don't know if it's one guy or if everybody goes, oh, that's where you put your boogers. Oh,
great. Great.
All right. So
Here I am, a sucker using toilet paper.
Yeah. So I come out of there and I complain loudly about the booger wall. I've gone out of there and I like scream things like, there's a cold and dark place in hell for the people who wipe their boogers on the wall, things like that. In fact, I asked my manager the other day, we were talking about, you know, doing reports and, you know, chain of command and that kind of thing. I said, well, who's going to address the booger wall? And he's like, what? And I told him and he kind of wrenched. He's like, oh, God, you know. But here's the thing. We're in a big office. Well, it's a medium-sized office, but there's about 100 people in there.
Yeah.
So there's no way to tell who's contributing to the booger wall. There's just no way. But we're moving down to the 10th floor from the 12th floor, and it's going to be a much smaller area. It's going to basically be the team that I'm on, which is like 10 people, yeah, and then a handful of other people. So I swear to Christ, if we move down there and we start off with no booger wall, and then one starts up, I'm going to bust out of that bathroom, run right over to, you know, the work area and start yelling, you all better not be starting another booger wall!
Is Undertaker going to have to choke a bitch?
You best believe if you're wiping your boogers on the wall, you're going to have to pay.
50 years ago, you'd be hung upside down with a fork in your ass. I think the men are from Mars, women are from Venus thing is that, yeah, the women obviously in their bathrooms don't have urinals per se, but on the inside of their stalls, I think they have a discharge wall.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard stories
just
about that.
Pick out their vaginal boogers and
just
put it
that
up
or
and stick their tampons and stuff.
Yeah,
and
no,
pads.
They take their pads, their maxi pads, and just go right on the door. So seriously, I've known girls.
Comes like a dry erase board.
Yeah.
Now, this I'm not sure which is gross, the booger wall or what I go through at my job.
Oh, what do you go through?
Well, the urinals in both Yeah, I guess all the bathrooms on both floors that our group's on, there's one at a low height and mm-hmm. one at a higher height.
Right, right.
I'm not sure what the purpose of the higher height one is. I guess it's for all those 8-foot basketball players that we don't employ. But what it does is when you're pissing into the higher height urinal, all of your piss ricochets out onto the walls. The stall wall, it's like on the left, and the divider wall. It's like this urine Rorschach test.
Oh.
And then everybody, and this has got to be some generational thing, the floor in front of the urinal is just constantly wet with the drips from people.
Because they stand away. Because
they're like, oh, my dick's so big. Yeah. I don't want to risk getting it in the water. So I'm going to stand 4 feet away and piss as hard as I can and then dribble the 4-foot line all the way back.
There's just like, it's like a forensic scene. Well, he was standing about 5 feet away, yeah, judging from the spray.
It's fucking gross.
That's at my job too.
I try not to go to the bathroom or at least take a crap in public places, but some stores you feel like you can maybe get away with it, you know, like I went into this place called Whole Earth, which is a camping store here, and it wasn't my intention to go in there to take a
shit. That's a pretty nice place.
Pretty nice place. And suddenly I had to take a crap. So I went into the bathroom, lined it with paper, got ready, sat down, and my shorts they weren't super hiked up and they weren't all the way down around my ankles, but they were hanging down enough to
hit
the puddle of piss that was in fucking front of the toilet. Oh, luckily, Luckily, I wasn't in much of a hurry, so I could take them off and wash them in the sink and just have slightly wet shorts from the soap and water from having to wash off the piss.
Oh, Jesus.
But, yeah,
that's terrible.
There's some people that just weren't raised with the moms or anything
Yeah, no shit. That's that same store that that I weirded that sales girl out at. Remember when we were trying to find books on travel?
Yeah.
And she was saying, well, we have this whole section over here, the Let's Go series, where for London and for France and England and this and that. And I started laughing to myself because I was thinking about if it was for South America, you'd have a series of books called Let Go. And it shows a bunch of guys in ski masks pulling in an international businessman into a van. He's like, ah! Let go, Guatemala. Let go, Cuba. Not Cuba.
Sao Paulo.
Let go, Colombia. You know.
Let go, Recife.
Yeah, and I was laughing to myself. And she's like, well, he's got these books over here. And I'm all... and I'm just kind of laughing to myself. And then she kind of looks at me real square and goes, well, anyway. And walks away. And I was like all embarrassed. But I should have chased her after going, no, wait. It's really funny. You
no,
see?
No, wait.
It's like, let go. Get it? You know?
Want to fuck?
Yeah. Well, see, you know, you do stuff like that, and then the one time you do that as a joke, the girl goes, oh, okay, and then you're like, I'll just take the wet. Yeah, about to sell this. See, this is what I figured out. Okay, you always have, you know, I'm married, got the wedding ring on, and, you know, guys will take the wedding ring off because, you know, they don't want the girl, you know, if they're trying to cheat on their wives, they don't want the girl to get wise. Don't be so stupid. Just take the ring and put it on your right hand.
Yeah.
How hard is that?
Because then they'll think you're cool and European.
Well, on top of that, you won't lose it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to sneak it in and out of your pocket. It's right there where you can see it.
You could lose it in her, though.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you use your left hand for that.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's how you blow a day. It's like, honey, I think my wedding ring's in there. You're what? Yeah.
Well, if you can find my keys, we'll drive out of here.
That's a story for another time, actually. All right, so we've taken too long, but that's all right. We're enjoying it. We hope you're having a happy Indian murder giving.
Chocolate milk? The doctor said it was breast cancer.
All right. So Secrets of the Moon is our band of the month.
Yep. And the month is coming to an end.
Yeah, we're going to have a new band next month real quick here. So we're
just going to play the rest of the album now.
No, we're going to play. They actually have a couple of instrumental tracks, and not that I have a problem with those. It's just that they kind of break the pace of the show. So we're just going to go ahead and play the last two songs that are actually non-instrumental. This is Ghost and followed by Seraphim is Dead.
And Inagata DeVita.
And, that would actually be pretty cool for them to do that. Inagata DeVita! All right, Secrets in the Moon, no cum farts. We'll be right back.
nature and appearance. Posted now for lasting silences. So we won't see ghosts steer through salvation. Let's arm current studies to living. We'll be right back.
That was Seraphim is Dead from Secrets of the Moon, as well as Ghost with Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, I was about to say that's like that whole song is about pottery. Yeah. And, you know,
also from Secrets of the Moon.
Yes, That's a great album. That's Antithesis.
Antithesis.
And you can get it through the Ina Offensive. Or if you're in Europe, you can get it at any corner store. Yeah. They actually sell albums that are worth a damn.
Okay, my friend. I hope Ina gets it back in because I think he was out of stock recently.
Yeah, he's also putting out the LP version, though. So
excellent.
That's going to rule. So, what else have we got tonight? Esker from Canada.
Mm-hmm. They're a comedy variety act down on 6th Street.
Esker's Follies. That's humor for all you Austin listeners. All two of you. But this band is from, they're from Quebec City, Quebec. Well, yep. More properly, Quebec, which is what they call Quebec City.
Right.
But, you know.
Quebec.
Quebec squared. And they put this demo out in 2001, mm-hmm. and I think it's really interesting because it is way, way ahead of the curve. I mean, if you're into like Deathspell Omega's more recent output, this stuff is really going to scratch your itch because it is the real deal.
They're very much influenced by Vid Bunzinda, so they were kind of preempting a lot of what Deathspell Omega is doing now.
Absolutely, but it's really great. I hope they do more stuff. There's talk that they're kind of uprising again. I mean, want to talk about a cult band? It doesn't get much more cult than this. I mean, they have like there's like 20 people who actively, you know them, associate with them, and listen to them. But I mean, we're trying to change that, and they seem okay with it. So
excellent,
awesome. So this is a song called Resurgences, I guess in French. It's Resurgences.
Yeah,
but. You know, Resurgences. It's the metal giving enema show. Everybody, biscuits and gravy. You know what I mean?
Turkey and giblets and tea bags.
Oh yeah.
Gravy spit take.
Oh, I know what I wanted to talk about. One quick thing.
Yes.
This was actually pointed out to me by somebody else, so I wouldn't have known about it otherwise. But there's apparently this site for, I guess, guys who read Maxim magazine called AskMen.com. And it's all it is just this stronghold for, you know, who's hot this year and pictures of them, like galleries and stuff of, you know, I don't know, Jessica Alba or whoever.
Yeah.
Whoever's popular this year in television or movies or whatever. But they had the 99 most beautiful women voted for the, you know, 2006. And I was about to be outraged because I'm kind of scrolling through. It's just like a quick slide.
Because Lindsay Lohan was number one?
No, actually she wasn't. No, but I was going to get outraged because I was getting down into the teens and I was like, because you could go through them real fast and half of them were like, generic chick, I don't know who it is, I don't watch TV so I don't care. Yeah. You know, a lot of them were like TV, like, I don't know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer supporting actresses or some shit, I don't know.
Brown.
No. boring white chick, hot Italian chick, boring white chick. Not that I have a problem with white chicks, obviously. It's just that none of them were very descript.
Yeah.
They were all kind of the girl I'd like to marry. I guess that was the trend this year because they all look like normal chicks. Yeah. They weren't like, you know, the mega hot.
Bleach blonde brown eyes, bleach blonde brown eyes.
Yeah, or whatever. But then they got, and I started going, where the fuck is Monica Bellucci? You know, I'm getting down into the teens. And then, boom, okay, she was at number 15. And I was like, okay, fine. But then I looked at the little standing and she was down from number 3 from last year. And I was like, okay, this list is all just compiled by...
this is all horseshit.
It's voted in by latent homosexuals. But then I went, okay, but anyway, we're at number 15. At least she's still in the top 20. Michelle Wilde, surely, is going to be on here. What? No. Wait. No!
Yeah,
she's not on the list. Okay. Ask Men is nothing but a poll of homosexuals. Sorry. You know, this is why all those girls were so safe, because it was just like closeted gay guys going... Well, who should I say is good looking? Oh, that one girl on Jag is cute. You know, I dress like her. You know? Anyway, you don't care. I don't care. It's stupid. I just wanted an